for that special. You know, I believe there's a verse that says be instant, in season and out of season. Is that? How many of you like instant potatoes better than the real thing? One. Come on, Liz. You're messing things up. No one likes instant potatoes better than real potatoes, except for weird people. So tonight when I was thinking about being instant, in season and out of season, I thought, well, I mean, it's better than no potatoes. It's not better than the real thing, but it's better than none. So tonight we're going to talk about, I kind of threw this together, and there's a lot of stuff that's missing, and you might want to check my statistics. I threw them together quick and double-checked them, but it was all in a hurry. So tonight, the lesson's called America the Proud, and the first verse we're going to look at is Exodus chapter 19, Exodus chapter 19, verse 5, if you want to turn there with me. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Okay? I want you to pay attention to that third word there. Now, therefore, if. We're going to come back to that in a little bit, but if. Okay. Now, let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 2. It says, I still hear pages turning, I'll give you a second. I told them in the back not to get real comfortable, because we'll be done fairly quick. Deuteronomy 14, verse 2 says, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth. Okay? We know that he's talking about the Israelites, the Jewish people here. Okay? And they're a chosen people. I put this up there, but it says that Israel's about the same size as New Jersey. I mean, you think about the size of Israel. So God's not telling them that they're such a great people because they're such a huge nation. He's not going to make great things of them because they're such a powerful nation and so many people and so powerful of a people. They're very small in comparison to that. And actually, in square miles, they're a little bit larger than New Jersey, but I believe it says that there's more people that live in New Jersey. So kind of give you a size estimate there. God lets us know that all the world's his, okay, in that verse, chapter 14, verse 2. He lets us know that the whole world's his, but his inhabitants of that small area are his chosen people. Amen. All right? And I know I said the lesson was America the Proud, but I'm going to get to that. I want you to think about this, about God's chosen people. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Verses 7 through 8. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen, from the hand of the Pharaoh, king of Egypt. All right, that tells us, I didn't do it because you're so awesome. Okay, I did it because I love you. Now, around 722 BC, the Assyrians invaded and destroyed the northern kingdom of Israel. In 568 BC, the Babylonians conquered Jerusalem and destroyed the first temple, which was replaced by a second temple in about 516 BC. And for the next several centuries, the land of modern-day Israel was conquered and ruled by various groups, including the Persians, Greeks, Romans, Arabs, Turks, Crusaders, Egyptians, Islamists, and others. Okay? During its long history, Jerusalem has been attacked 52 times, captured and recaptured 44 times, besieged 23 times, and destroyed twice. The oldest part of the city was settled in the 4th millennium BC, making Jerusalem one of the oldest cities in the world. Now remember, we're talking about God's chosen people, right? Think about that. God's chosen people, the people that he loves, he's done any and everything for. They've been conquered repeatedly, repeatedly, repeatedly. My family and I, we've been reading through Jeremiah. I guess that's the Bible reading right now. If everybody's doing the yearly Bible reading that we hand out at the beginning of the year, I think we're in Jeremiah, unless I'm just way off. But in Jeremiah, it's amazing because it keeps going back and he says, listen, you threw me away, basically. You took in other gods. You have no respect for me. You don't love me. And guess what? I'm going to take care of that. And so some of this, what we're talking about, is him taking care of that. Kind of jerking a knot in them is kind of what I like to say for my kids. I'm about to jerk a knot in you. I'm fixing to get your attention. So you know what's going on. So you can get with the program. In Jeremiah 2, I want to read several verses here, 5 through 13, I believe. Oh, yeah, I'm glad you switched slides, Dave. When we were over in Israel, I took pictures of the old part of Jerusalem, and we're talking about how many times it's been conquered. If you look at these pictures, you can kind of see different types of construction, different types of stonework. Every time they were destroyed, another place would come in and rebuild the walls, build it back up. So you have all kinds of different architecture there from different countries. And so it's just kind of a picture of the old city in Jerusalem being destroyed and rebuilt. And not rebuilt by the Jews necessarily, but rebuilt by the conquerors of the Jewish nation of Israel there. Those that took over and took them into captivity. And so that's just kind of a representation of some of that. Jeremiah 2, starting with verse 5, says, "Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone from me, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain? Neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, and led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought and of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through and where no man dwelt. And I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when ye entered, ye defiled my land and made mine heritage an abomination. The priests said not, where is the Lord? And they that handle the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me. And the prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit. Wherefore I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. For pass over the Isle of Chittim and see, and send unto Kedar, and consider diligently, and see if there be such a thing. Hath the nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be very desolate, saith the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out, cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. God tells them, what have you done? What happened? I'm the God that led you out of captivity. I'm the one that led you out of Egypt. You're free because of me. Amen. You've been taken care of this whole time because of me. And how easy do you forget? How easy do you throw me away? Make your own gods. Make believe gods. You know, when I was reading this, I was thinking about Moses going up to the mountain, Aaron, people coming and saying, He's been gone for a while. We need something to worship. How about you make us something to worship? Okay. Makes them a golden calf, and they worship the golden calf that he made with his hands. I cannot make sense of that. Amen. How are you going to watch somebody make your God for you to worship? It's amazing to me. Amen. that this would be the case, that they would go for that. But as I was thinking about that, I also thought about the fact that it's easy for us to look at the Bible and look at these Jewish people and see the mistakes they've made. It's easy for us to judge them and their stupidity, their foolishness. Sometimes I'll be reading, and if it's something that I don't remember in the, you know, a chapter or a book of the Bible, if it's something that I can't recall to memory, or especially several times during Jeremiah, there's been some times when you just start out reading the verses, and in my mind, it's building up, and I'm like, he's fixing to lay smackdown. You people done messed up. And you can see it coming. In your mind, you can see it coming. He's about to slap some sense into you people. And it's easy. It's easy to do that when you're reading the Bible. It's easy to do that when it's all laid out there in front of you. You can see it. We have the completed book. We have it all right here. And it makes it so easy for us to see that. But we have it in our hands. Some of us actually even read it, okay? And so we kind of know the things that are in there, but we all go and do something totally stupid. We can think about how dumb the Israelites are and the foolish mistakes they make. All the while, we're going and doing something totally stupid. We're doing some of the same things. It looks different. It's a different culture. It looks different to us, but it's not. So, we're going to look at the pride of the American people. Okay, I want to start off by saying, or not start off because I'm about halfway done, but I want to say during this part that I love my country. Amen. I feel blessed to be an American. Amen. It is such an honor and a privilege to be born here. Amen. And to be an American citizen. And I get mad when I see people burning our flag. I get mad when I see people kneeling at ball games. I get mad when I see people disrespecting police officers and all these things that we do. We've got people going and burning down half of a town just because they don't like the way something went. That stuff makes me mad. Okay? I'm a prideful American, just like you guys. So when I say the pride of the American people, I'm talking about me. I have that pride. We're a great nation. And we put our pride in the fact that we won't be beaten, okay? We don't. But the reality is, when you turn on the news, when you look at the statistics, you can look at social media, you can look at any newspaper, we're already beaten. We're beaten already. And it doesn't mean a foreign country come over here and defeated us. That means we've defeated ourselves. And we've allowed ourselves to be defeated. Let's look at some statistics. Dave's already got them up there. I'm going to have to come around here so I can read it. 1962, Supreme Court decided that the prayer should be, that prayer led by the teachers or administration of schools should not be allowed because it's against the First Amendment right by constituting an establishment of religion. And so I kind of based my statistics from that point, both directions, but
Before that decision to take prayer out of school, okay? I'm going to say it that way because that's the way most people say it, to take prayer out of school. Before that, according to what I could find, there was 22 mass shootings from 1900 to 1959. Since that time, there have been 187 mass shootings up to 2019.
Amen.
That's a 750% increase.
Amen.
Advance that day. I was going to put together some more statistics, but I only had time to throw a few together here. And so, Roe versus Wade, landmark decision, Supreme Court ruled that it protects a woman's liberty to choose to have an abortion without excessive government restriction. So basically it says, we're not going to interfere if you want to murder your baby. Okay? Simplify that for y'all. That happened in 73. From 1970 to 1972, there was average per year abortions were 422,022. After that, the average per year was 1,025,933. 143% increase. All right, Dave. This is homosexuality. ¥92% are more accepting now of homosexuality than they were 10 years ago. I think that says 63. Can you see that on the bottom? 63% think that it's acceptable. Homosexuality is okay. I think 38% disagree, and there's about 3% that living in their mom's basement and don't know what's going on. They're indifferent. They don't know. They don't care. So those are a few of the statistics that I threw together. Now, I want to be clear. Do I think that all of these things are a result of taking prayer out of school? I know we can see a steady decline in our Christian values over the years since it's happened. But I don't think it's a result of taking prayer out of school. Some people may not like that, and they may disagree with me. But I'm gonna tell you why here in a minute. When the court ruled that under the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment, that it's no part of the business of government to compose official prayers for any group of the American people to recite as a part of a religious program carried on by government. That's what it stated, okay? In other words, the state-sponsored prayers in school are unconstitutional. But students, on the other hand, are fully free to pray in public schools, alone or in groups, as long as they don't disrupt the school or interfere with the rights of others. I don't think the U.S. is in the shape it's in because we took prayer out of schools. I think the U.S. is in the shape it's in because we stopped caring.
Amen.
Whenever prayers were taken out of schools, where were the parents with the students? Where were they? I can't remember a time when we did devotionals in my home. We prayed over meals. I can't remember ever sitting down and praying over just regular stuff. And we didn't start praying over meals till I was a teenager. I was in the country. I didn't even know prayers was out of school, really, till a certain point, because we still had them. We still had the Pledge of Allegiance and prayers and stuff. And I don't remember it even being a big deal till I was about a junior or senior in school, and they were all afraid that they're going to get in trouble. So every time we had a gathering, I just led in prayer without asking. And that was their way around that because it was student-led. But realistically, I think we're in this position that we're in because we've removed God from our lives.
Amen.
We didn't just remove him from school. We removed him from the home.
Amen.
It's not really the school's. It's not really the school's responsibility to teach your kids to pray. It's not really the school's responsibility to teach your kids about the Lord. I know our nation was founded on freedom of religion, and I know there was a time when the Bible was the reading material that they used, and they've gotten away from that, and that's a bad thing. Okay, we can see a steady decline in our nation because of that. We can see a steady decline in our nation because of prayer not being in school. But it's not the school's fault. It's our fault. If our kids are not praying, if they're not leading people to the Lord, if they're not coming to church, it's our fault. If we as adults are not praying and we're not doing Bible study with our kids and we're not leading out in things, it's our fault. We've replaced him with our idols. David, next one. I know some people are not going to like this. I'm not going to speak a whole lot on it. I put some of my stuff up there too, okay? We've replaced him with our idols, and I'm not talking about the golden calf that we've made with our earrings. I'm talking about things that we would rather do than spend time in God's Word, things we'd rather do than come to outreach, things we'd rather do than come to church or to read our Bible or to pray or to reach out to someone in need, to go pray with a brother and sister that's hurting. TV, sleeping, video games. I mean, it's simple stuff that will all burn up one day. No eternal value. We love ourselves more than we love others. We want to entertain ourselves. Entertainment, that's the best thing. We can't get our face out of a screen. I'm guilty. If we put more effort into knowing the Bible and knowing God, then there'd be less time for this stuff. There's people that I know that put more effort into knowing what God's Word says for the simple fact of knowing what God's Word says and proving somebody wrong, and they miss the opportunity to have a stronger relationship with God because of it. They don't seek out God's face in it. They seek out knowledge so they can argue. I knew a guy I worked with for years. He could quote the Bible, he could quote it backwards and forwards and live like the devil. He knew that Bible forward, backwards, sideways, but he had no relationship with God. He had no relationship with Jesus, so it done him no good. We're arrogant. Americans, that pride, we're arrogant. If we think that we're more important than God's chosen people, we're spitting in his face and we're slapping him around. We're not God's chosen people. Okay? We get a little nervous. Go ahead and advance, Dave. We had an election. Okay? We're putting our faith in. I hear people say, man, if Biden wins, I don't know what we're going to do. Or, man, if Trump wins, you know, and it's back and forth. I don't care what your political dealings is. If I thought Trump was okay with murdering babies, I'd have voted for Kanye. Okay? I don't care. Republican, Democrat, whoever's for murdering babies, I'm out. And it doesn't matter what your political beliefs are, Republican, Democrat, Independent, whatever the other one is. It doesn't matter. Our faith shouldn't be in who's going to win the presidential election. We need to realize that even if Biden wins and how bad the world's going to be, which I have no doubt that it's going to get worse, okay, when this thing's all said and done and the circus is over, I have no doubt that things are going to look worse. But for us to think that God can't use that to bring us to our knees where we need to be. This may be part of God's plan. Some people can sit back and say, I don't think God would allow this. I don't see how this could be God's plan. Look at the world. Look at us. Look at the United States right now. Where do we need to be? We need to be on our knees. And we stand in pride and in defiance of God. We spit in his face. We slap him. We're as guilty as those people pulling his beard and nailing him to the cross. That's us. Even those of us that are Christians, sometimes we do things out of spite or out of ignorance. Sometimes we do it knowingly. God can use this to bring us to our knees, and that's where we need to be. Whatever the outcome is, it doesn't matter what the outcome is. We need to be on our knees. And it's not because we've taken prayer out of school. Okay? Parents are taking the back seat to responsibility. They don't teach their kids to pray. They don't go to church with their kids. I mean, we pick kids up on the bus and they don't know how to act because their parents don't act right. We can blame it on the kids, but the parents are just as bad. And they have no one that really loves them and shows them true love, what true love is, like God's Word teaches us. And we've taken a back seat to that responsibility. So we need to be teaching our kids that they have the right to pray at school, at restaurants. When we go in restaurants and sit down, we pray. When we're, doesn't matter where we're at, we pray. Kids need to have the strength and the faith to go to school and be able to sit at their lunch table and pray, or to pull out their Bible during break and read their Bible, or to go up to a friend and hand them a church tract and tell them about Jesus. But if we're not modeling that, where are they going to see it at? We're lazy and entitled. There's going to be a day of reckoning. You guys, now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenants, then you will be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all earth is mine. He told them, if you do these things, I'm going to take care of you. You can advance that, Dave. I want you guys to listen to this.
President Kennedy makes news on many fronts in his weekly press conference. To reporters crowding the State Department auditorium, he restates America's stand against any Red China threat to Kamoi and Matsu Islands. He discusses his trade expansion and Medicare programs. Asked his opinion of the Supreme Court decision banning prayer in schools, the president says,
"Well, I haven't seen the measures in the Congress, and you'd have to make a determination of what the language was and what the effect it would have on the First Amendment. The Supreme Court has made a judgment. A good many people obviously will disagree with it. Others will agree with it. But I think that it is important for us, if we're going to maintain our constitutional principle, that we support Supreme Court decisions, even when we may not agree with them. In addition, we have in this case a very easy remedy, and that is to pray ourselves. And I would think that it would be a welcome reminder to every American family that we can pray a good deal more at home, we can attend our churches with a good deal more fidelity, and we can make the true meaning of prayer much more important in the lives of all of our children. That power is very much open to us. And I would hope that as a result of this decision that all American parents will intensify their efforts at home."
Intensify our effort at home. We have that freedom, that ability. You can go ahead to the next one, Dave. That freedom and that ability to do those things. It doesn't matter who's in control of the Senate or the House. It matters who's in control of your heart. Amen. Okay? And what are we doing to stand up and teach younger generations how to be men and women after God's own heart? That's what it boils down to. We've got to teach them to be men and women after God's own heart. James 4:8 says, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." Okay? That's good stuff. Jeremiah 15:19. "Therefore thus saith the Lord, if thou return, then will I bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me. If thou take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. Let them return unto thee, but return not thou unto them." You know, there's different things all throughout the Bible. I could I looked up tons of verses that basically says, "You come back to me, and I'm there." It's one of those things where, when I teach the teenagers, I use this analogy, and I've used it in here. It's one of my favorite analogies, I guess. But you live somewhere, and there's a local radio station you like. The closer you are to the antenna, the better you're picking that up, okay? You start getting a little bit away from that antenna, and it's a little bit harder to pick up. Pretty soon, you're out of range. God says, come back to me. He doesn't leave. That antenna is not going anywhere. He doesn't leave. He's there. Come back to me, and I'll be there, okay? I'm going to take care of you. Our nation, we don't get the privilege that Israel does. We're not His chosen people, okay? Our nation is not. Now, we're God's people, okay? We're adopted in. He loves us, and He's going to take care of us, and He's going to take care of His people. But our people need to understand that sometimes you get chastened. You're going to get smacked down. When I'm talking about reading the books of the Bible and thinking, man, He's fixing to lay the smack down, I can turn on the news and listen to stuff, and I can think, He's fixing to lay the smack down, okay? And so we need to turn back to God. We need to spend time with our family and God's Word and His work. Pretty soon, this world's going to be burned up, okay? And those things that mattered to us before, our hobbies, our idols, our things that we loved so much more than God and His Word, they're going to be burned up and gone. And so, if there's people here that have never trusted in Jesus, if they've never accepted God as or Jesus as their Savior, now's the time. It's as simple as repentance and trusting in the Lord. I decided a long time ago, if I got a chance to stand in front of people and speak God's Word, I would always make sure they knew repentance and faith in the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, for salvation. Otherwise, those of us that are already saved, we need to be on our knees. We need to be with our children, our grandchildren, our friends, family, and God's Word. Not at the ball game. Okay? Not in front of the TV. We need to be in the Bible. We need to be in prayer. That's all I have. Musicians, if you'll come forward, I always like to have a verse invitation. Thank you guys for being here tonight. If you have need to pray, come down. If you don't know Jesus, your Savior, come talk to one of us. We'll be glad to tell you how to know Him. If you need a church home, this is a good place.
Amen. 447.